And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Rose.
What up, though?
I'm still David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen Jacoby, what is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
As our podcast listeners know, this is our favorite group of people that consume our content. On Tuesday and Thursday, we take an extra hour out of our day just to make sure that we give you one of those old school podcast audio only versions of our podcast. And another thing we do is when we have guests like Super Bowl champion Shaq Barrett, we tape a little exclusive with them too. And we give it to you here in the podcast exclusive. Here is some exclusive podcast only content with Super Bowl champion and soon to be extremely lucrative contract signer Shaq Barrett. We are with Shaquille Barrett. Now, Shaq, a lot of people group you in with JPP when they talk about the pass rush of the Bucks. Do you guys have a competition when it comes to numbers?
Not necessarily, but these last, the Super Bowl, we both wanted to be MVP, so we came in there, put a little wager on it, and none of us get it, so nobody paid out, but yeah, we won the MVP bad.
So, as a longtime football fan, and I mentioned this on the show, defenders that sack the quarterback, always I was enamored by. Like, Lawrence Taylor was my favorite player. I remember watching Derek Thomas have his 8-sack game. So who are some of the people that inspired you growing up?
So growing up, I was not, like, looking at the pass rushes at all. I was a Michael Vick fan. I like Warwick Dunn. I like Ray Lewis, but I did not, like, worry about pass rushes that much, because I didn't think that would be my position. I didn't know what my position was going to be. But in Pop Warner, you know, I was a fullback and defensive lineman, but I never, like, really paid attention to them type guys growing up. But now, being in the league, I like D-Ware, I like Vaughn, I like T.J. Watt, I like Miles Garrett. Like, there's a lot of guys out here that's good that I watch, and I try to take parts of their games and put it in my game.
Well, I'm sure they're doing the same with you, especially after the last couple of years that you have had. And I watched you mic'd up during the Super Bowl. You just seem to be having so much fun, especially once you guys got the lead in the second half. You seem to be so happy. But after the final whistle, as the confetti fell down, you said, I don't need all that. Let me find my family. Why was it so important for you to spend those moments with your kids on that field?
That's dope.
Oh, because it's like, it's a once in a lifetime experience, man. And to have my family there, to be able to experience something like that. Like, and I'm with my, you know, we quarantine. I'm with my kids' family and 24/7. So that's the only people, like, I want to celebrate with the team, but I had to get my family down there. Like, that's the people I want to celebrate with the most. We all had a lot of sacrifices going into this thing, and I wanted them to reap some of the benefits from it for sure. That's why we ended up going to Disney the next day.
That's awesome. And as a great family man, I want to quote the great American philosopher, Young Jeezy. Those baby need shoes and partners need bail money. You still a free agent this offseason. So, what kind of blank check are we looking for to one of the top defenders in the game?
Hey, one of the top defenders in the game need to be paid like one of the top defenders in the game. So, up there with them guys somewhere.
Because I saw J.J. Watt get a big deal. I saw DeMarcus Lawrence get a big deal. And those were a couple of years ago. And I know inflation exists. Yeah. And you want to win the Super Bowl in the year that you're a free agent. So what was it like now talking to your agent going into the playoffs versus after winning the Super Bowl?
So now it's like every team wants a part of me, a piece of me. And then, like, being able to be a unrestricted free agent, like, that could most definitely drive the market up even more. And I love the position I'm in right now. And it's a drain to be in this position. Like you said, after the Super Bowl, to be a free agent, I just want to make sure I still make the right decision for myself and my family. And right now, I don't have plans on leaving Tampa, man. I'm pretty sure they're going to come correct. We're going to be willing to negotiate and make something happen. And yeah, I love it here.
There were some times during the season where frankly, this team didn't look like a Super Bowl championship caliber team. Mm-hmm. And you know the sort of stretch of the season I'm talking about. And you guys came together in the last couple months and just seemed unstoppable. What sort of like was that pivot point in the season?
Just VA, great leadership. He talking to us and it's like playoff football now. We still control our destiny. We're still in position to be exactly where we want to be at, to be able to go to the playoffs. And he told us again also that all you got to do is get hot at the right time, man. And that's what we did. We got hot at the right time. We capitalized on getting guys back healthy. And we just had the mentality that, like, by any means necessary, we got it done. Like, I mean, coaching staff was a huge part of that. They fixed everything that needed to be fixed. They knew what needed to be fixed. They related in a way that we understood, and we got it done, man. I'm appreciative to have this coaching staff that we had there.
Oh, and by the way, that's exactly where I was going. You threw me a lob, and I appreciate that. When you brought up BA, that was the most diverse staff that I have ever seen, not only in the Super Bowl, but in the NFL. So talk about BA and what it's like to work with the most diverse staff in the NFL.
Oh, so BA, he's a world-class coach, man. He understands it. He's like, he's been in it so long, he understands players. And then the coaches that he hired, they pretty much all was former players. So they understand too. And it's, they just get it. They just get it. And there's something about just understanding and being real with your players that means a lot to us, man. And all of them, they real, they keep it 100 with us. They, like you said, former players. If you got former players as coaches and diverse players as well, that's as coaches now, like, it ain't no reason why you shouldn't be able to tap into the potential of all your players on a team, because everybody's been in it and seen some sort of shape or form of it to be able to relate.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Jalen and Jacoby. You're always welcome to come back, and we look forward to celebrating your deal that you signed this offseason. I want to see like 8 zeros on it. Congratulations in advance, and you're welcome to come back anytime and enjoy your time with the kids during the offseason.
All right, we're doing. Thanks for having me on. I'm most definitely looking forward to celebrating that contract, too.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate the love.
Yes, sir. All right, see y'all.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Want to thank Shaq Barrett for coming on the show. Jalen, talking to him in that championship glow, what did you take away from a conversation with him?
I took away the fact that here's a gentleman who played in Denver, won a championship with Peyton Manning as an aging quarterback, won a championship with the Buccaneers with Brady in the same predicament. One was in their final year heading off into the sunset, and one's talking about playing a few more years. And so that deal that you talked about him signing, not only is it an investment in him, but if they're able to keep Brady around, that makes that money and that opportunity to get more rings look a lot better.
Oh, they're going to keep Brady around. I think some of the questions, do they re-sign some of the guys that they brought in, like Fournette and Brown and Gronk? And they've got a lot of free agent decisions to make, but it's a lot easier to tell the owner to open up the pocketbook when you're just coming off the parade in the boat than it is when you're coming off a losing season. So we wish them the best. And something tells me Brady won't just come back next year, but he'll come back again and again and again and again and again until he literally can't do it anymore. But now I want to turn your attention to the opposite side of the spectrum in terms of successful franchises in the NFL, and that is your Detroit Lions. We've heard from Matt Stafford for the first time. Matt Stafford thanked the city of Detroit, and he said the following, quote, "Anytime you switch GMs and a head coach, you know that they're going to want to bring in their own people in, and that's going to take time. And I frankly didn't feel like I was the appropriate person to oversee that time." Jalen, as a lifelong Lions fan, how do you feel about Stafford's sentiments on the way out?
I just like how quietly Matthew Stafford and Derrick Rose basically asked for trades. You know? Here's what should have happened with Matthew Stafford. This is a year too late. And the reason why I say that is for him, not necessarily for us. As a team, we're still going to be in the market for a quarterback. Jared Goff has 2 years left on his deal. He still got a proven ground. Do you go get a vet? Do you drive somebody? Stay tuned. But for Matthew Stafford, he was coming off a back injury where he missed most of the season 2 years ago. This season, while most people are saying that now the Rams are their favorite to win the NFC, I want to remind them of his injury history and also remind them that as a member of the Lions, as our quarterback for over a decade, at some point, you hope that we've fallen to one playoff win, more than one playoff win. Now, I'm not going to put that all on him because this has been going on my entire life, but I just believe that they got a good quarterback. I'm happy he's in a winning situation, but I don't think that now all of a sudden, because they have him, he's going to be like getting Deshaun Watson and the game changer that now makes the Rams Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah, I feel the same way, and I feel pretty good about it. I don't think we're going to be wrong. I don't think, you know, 8-9 months from now, we're going to be like, man, I didn't really see this coming. Rams are undefeated at 9-0, tearing up the league, led by Matt Stafford. I think it's much more likely that Matt Stafford will be like, yeah, Rams are 3-6, and Matt Stafford got hurt in week 2. That's much more likely an outcome to me, but I never want anybody to get hurt. Wish him the best, and I wish the Lions the best with Jared Goff. You know what? Let me go positive. Outside of Matt Stafford, let me go positive, though. Outside of Matt Stafford, Jared Goff is one of the best quarterbacks y'all have ever had in the history of the franchise, and I'm not even joking. Like, the bar's pretty low.
And I agree with you. The bar's really low, so low that the best quarterback in Lions history before Stafford was Bobby Lane. That happened in the 60s. He and Matthew just so happened to have attended the same high school in Dallas.
Interesting. So, Jalen, you know, during the television portion of the show, we get to touch on a lot of games. We got to keep moving pretty quickly. But there are some things I want to mention on some of the games that we talked about on the show that are deeper in the box score that we can go into deep analysis on the podcast exclusive. I want to talk about the Lakers' 3 wins in overtime, last one against the Thunder. And there's a couple things going on I want to talk to you about the Lakers. The first thing is this. This was supposed to be Anthony Davis's MVP year. But he's played all right. And now he's got tendinosis, I believe it is, in his Achilles. And I'm not going to act like I know what that means, but it's supposed to be like tendinitis, but perhaps worse. He's been sitting out with that Achilles injury. LeBron's been playing a lot on LeBron's shoulders on the offensive end. 3 overtime games. Is this a huge concern for the Lakers with Anthony Davis's health?
Yes. No AD, no ring. LeBron needs to play so he can protect seeding in the West, protect overall seeding. I anticipate as the playoffs come, fans will be in the building. He also has personal things that drive him. You know, can he be MVP at his age? Can he be the NBA's all-time leading scorer? Where he's going to rank amongst the all-time greats and assists? So he's going to show up. But if Anthony Davis is hobbled, they ain't winning it.
Well, apparently he's supposed to be back. This isn't supposed to be like a long-term injury for them. But my question for you is both you and I went into this season when they sort of announced the start date and it being so close to the Finals game 6 and LeBron, and this supposedly being the Anthony Davis MVP year, but it's kind of flipped. LeBron's been playing a ton of minutes. He hasn't missed a game. he's been going full bore this regular season in ways that he hasn't in the past. And it looks like he's got that MVP light at the end of the tunnel, that carrot that he's chasing. Do you think that this added mileage on LeBron during the regular season could flip on them and end up hurting them in the playoffs?
Yes, because of his age. And not only is he playing and showing up each night, but they need every bit of his productivity. And so three straight overtime games, that's also like heavy minutes in closing out those games. So he's smart enough to know when AD gets back, watch. We're going to see LeBron take some long weekends. We're going to see LeBron take his low management games off. It'll happen. He'll recharge his battery before the playoffs.
So I don't know this for a fact because I've never spoken to LeBron James in my life. But something tells me that he's got an eye on Joel Embiid, and Joel Embiid has an eye on LeBron because they're both kind of looking near the top of the standings, having MVP caliber years. Jokic is having an excellent year, but, you know, his team right now is hovering around the fourth seed, 500, something, somewhere around there, a little over 500. But it feels like Embiid and LeBron are both sort of playing a game of chicken of who's gonna take more load management days as they're neck and neck in this race. And that is something that we will keep an eye on. One more Laker note I wanted to mention is Montrezl Harrell's kind of found his way in the last few games in AD's absence. That's something that's really encouraging to see if you are a Laker fan or you like the Lakers' chances to win the championship. What have you seen from Trez?
He's going to be more effective without AD. Because when LeBron and AD are healthy, though LeBron is initiating offense as a power guard, in theory, they're playing the 4 and 5 up front. Mm. So when they're in a game, just the geometry of the floor forces Harrell either underneath the hoop or onto the bench because he's not a face-up shooter and he doesn't space the floor. But without him, he could be a screen roller. He could be a finisher. He can get a couple of post-ups against smaller matchups. And that's why you bring him in case AD gets hurt.
Absolutely. Jalen, real quick, I just want to remind our listeners that the latest 30 for 30 Al Davis vs. the NFL is now available to watch anytime on ESPN+. It looks back at the long-running feud between Raiders owner Al Davis and NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle. It's another great entry into the 30 for 30 series. And as we've done before on 30 for 30s, there's a new episode of Jalen Jacoby, The After Show. We spoke with the film's director, Ken Rogers, on that podcast. It's a great interview. He tells us how he brought these two titans of the NFL past back to life. It's a great interview. You don't want to miss it. Check that out at Jalen Jacoby, The After Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Jalen, I have an update on one of the most important stories that we've ever covered. And that is Gorilla Glue girl, Tessica Brown. She went viral, put Gorilla Glue in her hair. Her saga has been well documented all over the internet, and we have a happy ending. She flew to Los Angeles. There was a doctor there who offered to do the procedure for free, supposedly a $12,000 value, but we all know how that goes. And he got the glue out of her hair and managed to save, you know, a decent amount of hair on her head. She's got something that she can work with there. As we conclude this saga, what do you think Tessica Brown, Gorilla Glue Girl's legacy will be?
Let me tell you what her legacy is going to be, and I mentioned this on the show. Any smokers out there appreciate this. The scene in Don't Be a Menace in South Central while drinking juice in the hood. They're standing by the mail truck. Spoofs of all movies, and they're passing something that will make Method Man and Red Man and Snoop Dogg around that really makes them happy. And one of the people hit it, and they start coughing, and they really start coughing, and they start foaming at the mouth, and they died right there in the circle. What do you think the other three or four people in the circle did? I'll give you a multiple choice. Did they A, give a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? Did they B, call 911? Did they C, say I'm never smoking again? Or did they D, say let me hit that?
D, let me hit that.
Okay. So Gorilla Glue Girl, while it worked out in her favor because she didn't want her hair permanently stuck, just like tattoos, some people get them and get them removed. Other people want to keep them there forever. There are going to be some people that don't mind their hair being stuck forever in their minds. That's going to become a thing.
Well, I hope that there aren't any copycat Gorilla Glue users out there. And I also want to say that I've always wondered why we couldn't get a 2-year tattoo. Like, we can put people, we have people that can buy their way into space. We can put human beings in space, just civilians. Like, it's like they're flying across the country, but we can't come up with a tattoo that only lasts a couple of years. That's the only way I'm ever getting a tattoo. Well, big shout to Tessica Brown. She's famous now. Shout to her followers. Now, this is one of the questions. Sometimes there are stories where, like, I got to talk to Jalen Rose about this, because only Jalen will have the sort of insight that I'm looking for on this, because only Jalen can relate to extremely rich black people problems. And we have one with Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart, great entertainer, blew up over the last decade. He's got money coming in from all sides. And when you have money coming in from all sides, you need to hire other people to manage it, do things for you. And he had someone who was a quote unquote personal shopper. I guess what this is when you need something purchased, you see it, you write it down, you email this person, they go and get it for you, bring it to you. And they get paid a service fee for that. He found someone that he trusted, someone that did this for him for a while. Now, over time, this personal shopper, according to Kevin Hart's prosecutors, defrauded him out of nearly $1.2 million over 2 years. However, they weren't just like putting that in their own savings account. They were buying pricey jewelry, watches, art collectibles, and luxury handbags with Kevin Hart's money for their own good. Now, Jalen, as a rich person, how does this happen? How do you keep it from happening? And what advice do you have for other people that employ people in this manner?
Well, a couple of things. It flips when you start being rich or famous. It's like, the people that didn't make good decisions, didn't make sacrifices, didn't get blessed by the man above, whatever the case may be, all of the above, flip your success on you by saying, when you're not spending your time and energy and money on them and their goals, you ain't keeping it real. So let me get this right. I'm the one that played in the league, and I'm the All-American, and I'm the one with the college degree. But you real. Got it. That's first and foremost. Second, it happens because you're now trying to help somebody feed themselves. It's either you give a man fish or you teach him to fish. This sounds like, and by the way, I heard about this story. And I heard about this story on my text, because I think one of the people involved in this are one of the people that were involved in my suit saga that I told you that took place between the 20th and the 24th.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow.
As you said Kevin Hart's name, I was looking back through my text, because I just remembered somebody texting me something about Kevin Hart recently in a story like this. And so let me tell you now how it happens. It happens a few different ways.
I knew you'd be good on this one, Jalen. I love doing this show with you.
It happens in the jewelry way. It happens in the custom clothing way. Jacoby, when he wants to get a suit that's custom made, I'm going to charge Jacoby $3,000.
Never had a custom suit in my life. But
I'm going to charge the person that looks like Jacoby that doesn't have a show on ESPN $1,000. But either way, I'm telling both of them that I'm getting these custom materials straight from Italy. Don't pass go, don't collect $200. Like, you must have this. You could rub this material on your grandma's forehead. Like yo. And just like Air Jordans, they making them for like $3.
Mm-hmm.
They making them for like $150. So Kevin Hart just realized that he been buying all of these suedes and leathers and corduroys and all of these designers and all of these shoes that he felt was getting imported and custom made, and he realized how much they actually cost. Like you say, like we say when somebody go buy jewelry and then the person always act like he giving you a discount.
No, they always act like they're not making money, like they're doing you a favor.
Right. Like I'm doing you a favor by you coming in my store today.
Yeah, I'm actually losing money on this, but I think you'll come back and give me more business, and that's why I'm losing money on this. I'm actually losing. No, you're not.
If you didn't come in today, I wouldn't have lost money. You know, that's how they spend it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happened to Kevin Hart, and that's what happened to people like me. And I'll take it a step further. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was like, I'm going to make sure I work with a black designer.
Good.
So I'm going to look deeper into this, and I hope Kevin Hart didn't feel like I felt, and all of a sudden he was the victim of black on black crime.
Oh, no. Well, I have no idea what this human being looks like that was his personal shopper. So I don't want to venture to guess. But I will say that I want to get to the point in my career where someone can take $600,000 from me and me not notice until 2 years later. Because if you took $600,000 from me now, the bank would call and say, you owe me $580,000. They would call me real quick and be like, I don't know what you're thinking, Mr. Jacoby, but we have to settle this. And you know,
but that's not how Jacoby, that's not how it happens. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This isn't somebody taking Kevin Hart's personal credit card and doing that.
That's what it sounded like.
No, what it is corporate. It's Kevin Hart. The corporation is going to need clothes for all these events that he does over the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that person is already buying stuff for 2021 for Kevin Hart to do something in June. You see
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's already getting a custom outfit for Valentine's Day because him and his wife gonna dress up and post something on social media, and they both needed outfits.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of that, and that's why it's able to happen, and that's what creates the loophole. Because this person has the trust of Kevin, which gets the trust of his corporate that now allows him the space to do that. How about this? It's the equivalent of what somebody could do if they're taking advantage of their work corporate card.
Yep.
Like that.
Well, it's also you could pick up margins too. You say the suit costs $4,000, the suit costs $3,000. That extra $1,000 goes to the vendor, but end up $700 of it goes back to you, and $300 of it stays there. And you do that enough times, and you end up with $1.2 million over 2 years. I hope that this person gets in trouble, and I hope that Kevin Hart gets all of his stuff together, because I've worked with him briefly, not closely, over the past 15 years, and he's always been super cool. Now, Jalen, there's an underreported story, which is like a little touchy, and it is the anthem in Dallas at the NBA arena. Guess what? They made the decision in the offseason, Mark Cuban said, taking credit for it, that they won't play the anthem because it was up to his discretion whether or not to play it. No one notices. They have 13 home games, and right around the 13th home game, people start to notice it becomes a news story. And the New York Times writes about it, and we discuss it briefly. And then right after it becomes a news story, the NBA puts out a statement that says all of the teams and all of the arenas must play the anthem before games. What do you think about the NBA stepping in and sort of adjusting their policy midway through the season?
I think poor whites and poor blacks have a lot more in common than people actually realize. And what happens in situations like this, as our supporters that have followed our show for 10 years have appreciated. And I know people with Native American backgrounds that are close to me. And that's why I even stopped using the term Mount Rushmore, because I know why that became a mountain of American presidents, because they took their land, they killed those people, buried them there, and then put American heads on top of their old reservation as a way to show their dominance. we on this program called them the Washington football team before they did for years. And I bring that up because Dan Snyder, at some point of his life, is going to be covered by people that didn't cover the story like I did. And what they're not going to know is, yeah, Dan Snyder is going to get credit for changing the name. But what they're not going to know is he changed the name because it was going to affect his bottom line, because sponsors were pulling out. And for Mark Cuban, in his mind, yeah, this is a notable stand to take. But like LeBron in China, when Daryl Morey made his comments, it's like what I said about poor blacks and poor whites. It's the same thing with rich black and rich whites. LeBron and Mark Cuban had to take a pause and had to punt on that because it's going to affect the bottom line too much. And so this is where people like Colin Kaepernick become revered, because they are willing to actually sacrifice their career and their bottom line regardless of what the punishment might be for their stance, versus the other two examples that I gave, which are going to pick and choose if it's extremely going to affect their bottom line. That's all fact.
Well put, Mr. Rose. Like I said on the show, I would probably attend 75 NBA basketball games that didn't have the anthem before them before I even noticed. Honestly, it's such an insignificant part of the proceedings of what happens inside that arena that if it were omitted, it just seems to be that we would live in a better world, because it has become politicized. And we all know why. We don't need to go into that history. Jalen, you mentioned sort of, black people and white people and what they have in common. And that's sort of one of the pillars of this program is our interracial relationship. We're both in interracial marriages. And I want to talk about another sort of black and white friendship that is like ours, based on similar interests. And that is that of Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg. And Willie Nelson recently in an interview said that he smoked Snoop Dogg under the table in Amsterdam. Jalen Rose, tale of the tape, head to head, who could outsmoke who in your mind, Willie Nelson or Snoop Dogg, and why?
Willie Nelson is the OG. I am not surprised by that. I am not surprised by that. Let me give you a different example. Let me take it to liquor. When you first start drinking beer, wine, liquor, dark liquor, white liquor, tequila, Hennessy, it don't matter. When you got them young lungs and them young kidneys and you're trying to go as just them OGs and you think you're about to sit around and have beverages with them, you get sick because they'll drink you under the table and before you know it, you're throwing up. It's the same thing with smoking. Yeah, Snoop been doing this for X amount of years. But what happens with getting inebriated, it creates a tolerance. So that's why it's important that you even stop drinking or smoking for X amount of days a week, just to get your tolerance to lower itself. So if Willie Nelson been smoking like this for like 60 years, if you ain't on his level, you ain't got a chance. I am not surprised at all.
I'm a little surprised, I can't lie, because I would think that like the age factor, as you would factor in the way that you said, so over time you develop the ability, the tolerance in order to mass consume. However, you'd think that the age would also work the other way. You know, I'm only 42. I'm tired. I got big bags under my eyes. I need more rest. I take naps. I'm washed. I can barely stay up to watch the fourth quarter of an NBA basketball game that started at 10 o'clock. I can barely stay up for it. And you would think that some of that would apply to Willie Nelson as well, but apparently it does not. Big shout to the two of them. I'm just glad that they have each other in their phones and that they had a time in Amsterdam in which they partook together. Have you ever been to a coffee house in Amsterdam, Jalen Anthony Rose?
The way I'm local with my movie watching, I've kind of been that with the stamps in my passport. I can't front. I'm really fortunate, and I can't act like I haven't been on, you know, maybe 25 to 50, like, was considered trips or vacations, you know, to Italy and Europe and, you know, Dubai. I've been to some amazing places, but not to as many as you would think for somebody in my position. In particular, a spot like Amsterdam, where a friend of mine, Rashid Wallace, used to always be the first thing smoking, straight Detroit Metro Airport to Amsterdam. That was his thing. Long weekends, whatever. I've never been.
Wait, are you trying to say that Rashid Wallace, long weekends during an NBA season, would go to Amsterdam?
I never say what part of the year it was.
Okay, good point. That's a good point. Every weekend can be a long weekend if you schedule it that way.
This long weekend. You know, so Jalen, you got going on in this life? Long weekend.
The internet is trying to pit two legends against each other, and I really think there's absolutely nothing there. But that's not going to stop me from jumping on the media guy train and trying to pit these two against each other. Because I'm just going to read the facts. Nas has a release date that he's going to be releasing new music, a new song called EPMD. I believe he did with Hitmaker or Hitboy. Sorry, friend of the show. Jay-Z is dropping a track with Nipsey Hussle on the exact same day. We all know the history between these two. We all know the back and forths on Wax that was spurned by them dropping on the same release date. Jalen, is this something or nothing? Jay-Z and Nas both dropping their same new tracks, which they haven't had for quite some time. Nas more recently on Friday.
It's something, but only for music fans, because we've been getting some great bars from multiple artists, and I appreciate that. Big shout to Lauren London, who had to dispel rumors that she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say something that's really important to my people. And to your people, or to anybody that can hear my voice, Lauren London is actually allowed to live her life. Yeah. We're not allowed to dictate how she moves forward after she lost the love of her life. That's totally her call. I thought it was really mean-spirited and rude that basically people bullied her into having to make a statement about something, A, that was untrue, but B, basically projecting their thoughts into how they think she should move forward with the rest of her life. That is not fair.
I agree with you on that wholeheartedly.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I love doing these podcast exclusive podcasts because we get to hear from you guys. So right now, push pause on the podcast, rate us and review us on Apple, and also call 985-80-JALEN because you can leave voicemails there and we will play the voicemails on the program and answer your questions, give you a shout out if you give Reg a shout out, just like this.
Yo, what up though? It's your boy Gerard, repping the boogie down Bronx, New York. Long time listener, first time caller. Yo, shout-outs to Reg the Ledge. Shout-outs to Jalen Jacoby and the whole team there for always giving me a dope pod to step to. So lately, I've been seeing a lot of commercials on companies really pushing this zero-alcohol beer thing. I've seen it during the Super Bowl, too, and for me personally, I don't see the point on having a beer without alcohol. So my question for you guys today is, zero-alcohol beer, is that a soft move or a boss move? Also, is this a cultural thing or a regional thing? I'm curious to know you guys' thoughts on this, and I appreciate all y'all do, and keep bringing that dope content. Peace out.
Big shout to Gerard. Now, first of all, before we even get into this topic, I want to say it's always a boss move if you have any sort of abuse problems with alcohol to drink 0.0 alcoholic beverages. If you find in any way that you have a bad relationship with the chemical of alcohol, then it's always a boss move to stop drinking it and perhaps supplementing your intake with 0.0 alcohol. Put those people aside, Jalen. For people that don't have issues with the, with consuming alcohol, is 0.0 alcohol a soft move or a boss move? And in what scenario is it each?
Well said, Jacoby. Thank you to the caller. We appreciate the continued support. Thank you for taking the time. Tell a friend to tell a friend to check us out every day at 2 o'clock on ESPN. Also, leave a voicemail just like you did and get on the show. I want to make sure I echo what Jacoby said. For anybody that has any alcohol or abuse problems, that 0.0 is that alternate. Watching family members like many of you, I have close to me that I've seen deal with abuse issues. A lot of drinking and stopping has to do with the muscle memory of having a beverage in your hand, putting it to your mouth. So I've seen a family member, for example, always have a Sprite because they or always have a water because that muscle memory stops them from wanting to have an alcoholic beverage. And it's like, you know, a smoking patch or anything else. But with all of that aside, I like girly drinks. So I am one of those kind of people that if I'm on the grill and it's daylight before, say, 2 o'clock, I'm not going hard on the beverages, but I'm a mixologist. I'll do, you know, IPA. I'll do a Mike's Hard Lemonade-ish, wine cooler-ish type drinks. But 0.0 overall for me, soft move. And I also believe cultural. I've never seen somebody without abuse issues that look like me drinking a 0.0 recreationally. Your thoughts, Dave?
Well, one of the issues I have with 0.0, and again, obvious abuse issues aside, is they in the commercials, it's like this guy's like at like a conference room meeting with like his big bosses. And it's like, no, it's okay. I'm drinking 0.0. It's like, no, you shouldn't even be drinking 0.0 in certain scenarios either.
Correct.
You
know what I
mean? Like, yes. It's just like, it's just because 0.0, it doesn't reflect well upon you that you're sipping from a glass bottle that's green with a familiar brand on it. Like, I don't know if I would rock with that if I was the person in the meeting not drinking that. It also indicates that perhaps you really do enjoy beer. Another question is, Jalen, and I understand there's exceptions to this, but in general, so wildly generalizing here, is beer cultural?
Yes, overall. It had its phases, and you can always go by rap music. You remember the era where they were rapping about 40s.
Yes.
You don't hear rappers rapping era. About drinking. You don't hear now rappers talking about drinking beer.
Now it's champagne.
Correct. You don't hear that at all. So, no.
Last time, Jalen Rose, last time you drank a 40.
Oh, a 40? Oh, man. Oh, man.
Wow, right?
Probably a member of the Nuggets.
Really? Oh, see, yeah, I find myself like once a year. Just it's kind of like one of my homeboys that dunks every year on his birthday. Like once a year, just to make sure I still got it, I'll grab a 40.
Well, yeah. I would, but man, it tortures my stomach.
You're not a beer guy. You're not a beer guy. Yeah. I've rarely seen you just saddle up at the bar and be like, let me get a beer. You know?
But Jacoby, but that's a graduation. I'm a perfect example because as I started consuming beverages, I was solely a beer guy. Like, the most I would do is, like, a black and tan to mix it with the Jaeger and the Guinness. Yeah, I just turned y'all on to a beverage, huh?
No, I think that black and tan is actually different. Two types of beers mixed together. But, you know, Jaeger and Guinness sounds good. That's more like a black and black.
Yeah. And so, but, yeah, I started drinking OEs and St. Ives. And then when I wasn't drinking those, it was Heineken's or Corona. When I was really little, try to sneak some of my mother friends in their drinks. My Uncle Paramore, And that was like the Colt 45 with Billy D. Williams.
Jalen, so, I don't know the answer to this question, but I really want to know, and I'm sure our listeners do well. Because have you tried or jumped on the White Claw Truly Bud Light sparkling, like sparkling water, hard seltzer drinks? Are you on that train?
Yes, I've had every hard seltzer drink.
I'm on a train too. On it, like if I'm going golfing, golfing for 4 hours, I'm drinking eight of something. Yes. And sometimes the beer gets a little heavy. Mixing a couple of those Trulies, a couple of those black cherry White Claws.
All day.
I'm not scared. One thing I know Jalen Rose is not scared of drinking girly drinks. Jalen Rose is not scared of drinking girly drinks. I'm
on the Trulies. I'm on the black bottle Trulies. I'm on the white bottle White Claws. I'm on them.
Good for you.
Done it. And when I say coolers, when I say Mike's Hard Lemonade, I'm putting them all in the same category.
Good for you. We got time for one more voicemail. Don't forget to call 985-80. Jalen, leave us a voicemail, and we'll answer on the show just like this.
Jalen, Jacoby, what's up? Shout out Reg. Shout out whole production team. Quick question. I got two, actually. First, Jalen, big fan. I know you're busy, but we need like a YouTube cooking show or like a YouTube grilling show. You give a lot of free game on the pod, and you help me cook. So definitely need that. Two, this is a follow-up call. I called about, I'm the 21-year-old. You know, dating the older young lady. My only question is, we're openly dating. So since my business has grown, I've gained attention from a few more women, and I've let her know. And again, we're openly dating. I just need to know how I should move. You know, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You know, I want to keep everyone happy, but I also want to be honest. You feel me? So. Hit me back. Shout out
404. Wow. There's a lot there. There's a lot there. First of all, Jalen, you're going to do a cooking show.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate the love. Reg, it's a follow-up caller. He need a hoodie. Make sure you show him love. Make sure you guys support each Thursday the Renaissance Man, Apple, Spotify. Since today's Thursday, I have to say that. And like Jacoby, in this multimedia space, we show different parts of our personality. So when Jacoby likes reality shows, he's doing his thing. He's doing his thing in multiple different aspects. Same with me. One of the things that I have not unlocked, two of them. One, you haven't seen me do anything with hair, and you haven't seen me do anything with food. Stay tuned.
I love a tease. I love a tease. Now, his second question, which is kind of braggadocious, which I love from this caller. He's like, yeah, me and that older lady, we're public. We're publicly dating, but I still got girls hollering at me. I love that. I love that from him because I'm on TV every day and my DMs are not popping and nor should they be. I'm married. I got three kids. I'm off the market. I'm off the black market. But still, shout to him for being still sought after, even though he's openly dating somebody. So how should he communicate with these young ladies, I assume, that are interested, but he has to let down easy.
I got you. And Jacoby, here's the difference between he and us. He used a really important word that was not a part of the vocabulary when we were single. Open. He used that word. And that almost sounds to me like a remixed version of entanglement. You can use all of those words that you want. The bottom line is not committed is what I hear.
Oh, see, I heard that they were like publicly dating, but open like that. Oh, see, that's how washed I am. I don't even pick up on those cues.
Correct. I got you, family. I got you. I got you. And so what I heard is basically he can date who he want. It's just that he shouldn't do it too close to where he might get caught up. Because he said his business expanded, which means he on the same route that he met her or she knows about that route. And so he got people now on that route trying to get on his line. He like, we open. What should I do?
You're so good at what this, I Jalen. Heard. You're so good at this. He came to the right place. I don't have the answers. Jalen Rose does. Continue.
I got you, family. And so here's what you do. Really simple. You only got one route. You ever heard of that term? Never.
Yes.
Sit where you live.
Something like that.
Never sit where you stay. Never sit where you stay is my advice. You got the whole city. You got every zip code. You got the whole state. Now, since you're feeling yourself, why don't you test your game about people that don't know that you're such a businessman? Test your game with people that don't know that you was able to lock down another woman that's older than you and that helped your cred. How about you just go to a different neighborhood and establish a new reputation? And those now be the other people that you currently are able to date in your open relationship. Because I'm not giving you any breaking news, because she doing it too. Because she allowing you to use the term open. Like, as men, we think we drive the relationship. We don't.
Mm-mm. Both of y'all agreed to have an open, and both of y'all did it with your own agendas, and she has one too.
Duh, when she decided it ain't going to be open no more, it won't be. And that either is going to be either you commit or I'm out, or I found somebody else. That's really what that means. So that's how you move going forward. Follow back up and let us know how you proceed.
Appreciate Jared from the Bronx. Appreciate this guy and his entanglements. Appreciate all of our callers. Don't forget to call 985-80-JALEN, and we will leave. Put your voicemail on the show. Now, tomorrow's show, Jalen Rose, I'm going to be in full clown makeup, full clown outfit.
Yes.
The outfit hasn't arrived at the house yet. Very concerned about that. But I will be dressed as a clown tomorrow on the show at 2 p.m. Make sure you tune into that. It's on ESPN. And we will be back for that show. Why is that?
Just be prepared for me to say, homie, don't play that a lot on Friday. We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.